Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Cheltimer, and my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed. Each week at this time, we visit with a local author and get an introduction to their work. We take a glimpse into their lives and find out what prompts them to write. And we have an opportunity to hear them read from their work. Today, we're very pleased to have as our guest, Jennifer Gibson. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Jennifer is an award-winning photographer, illustrator, and graphic designer, as well as an author. She's a graduate of Sheridan College in Illustration and Loyalist College, where she studied digital production. Jennifer has won many awards for her work, including the Oticon Focus on People Award in 2010 as an outstanding individual with hearing loss and for her portrayal of a hearing-impaired teen in her novel Sway. This is a North American award, and Jennifer is the only Canadian to have won it. Two of her books, Sway and Destiny, won the Literary Classics Seal of Approval Award. Compass, another of her books, was a finalist in the Roan Awards and honorable mention for her cover. And Destiny won a 5-star award on the Reader's Favorite Reviews website. You really are pulling in the awards. That must be very gratifying.
It is. It's perfect. Just in time for my birthday. I'm actually running out of room in my books to put all the stickers.
Wonderful. It's an interesting combination you have here, the illustrating and the writing and so on. And you studied art and photography and have had a successful career in these fields too. So what made you turn to writing? And what is your main focus these days?
Well, I've always been interested in writing. I loved writing poems and short stories as a kid. And many of them were published in school newsletters and yearbooks. And ironically, I've had several writing teachers ask me if I considered a career in journalism, and which never thought occurred in the back of my mind. And I was more interested in art and photography. And that's actually a family thing. And my mother loves artwork, and my father loves photography. So everybody isn't very creative in my family. It wasn't until I graduated from college that I began to reconsider it. When I met Michael Bublé in Toronto a few years ago, and this was a chance meeting backstage outside. I was coming through a parking lot, and I was holding a map in my hand. He approached me, and he had a baseball hat on, and I couldn't see his face. It was covered in shadow. And he walked right up to me and says, "May I help you?" And I'm like, his voice is really husky, and he sort of looks familiar. I said, "Are you Michael Bublé?" And he said, "Yes." Very deep, husky voice. "Really?" I said, "Yes, it's me." And he gave me a hug, held onto my hand, looked at me really slowly from head to toe, and said, "You're beautiful." Wow. You know, my knees were shaking so much, I thought I was going to collapse on the ground right in front of him. But he was a perfect gentleman, and he treated me like a princess. So, and then afterwards, when I watched him on stage, it made me realize for him to be so successful at that point was to follow his passion. He worked hard to achieve it, to be where he is today. So that's when I realized if I wanted my dreams to come alive, is I have to work hard to do it too. And that was the turning point in my life for me to really consider following my dreams. And so I decided to try self-publishing my book Sway, just to see what would happen. And when it hit the top 50 bestseller list at KoboBooks.com, that's when I realized I was meant to do this. Which is ironic, because it was just a whim. I just wanted to see what would happen, and I didn't expect this to be so well received. So I decided, okay, well, let's try another one, see what would happen. And as soon after I finished doing Compass, the publisher, Black Opal Books, contacted me and asked me if I can sign a contract with them. And so that's how I ended up writing a trilogy series, because they were very interested in, and they encouraged me to keep going.
Wonderful. So you mentioned Sway. Did you create this book as a sort of semi-autobiography? Does it reflect your life, or is it all fiction?
It's based on my life as a hearing-impaired teenager, but it's not an autobiography. It's fictional. It's a completely fictional novel, although it features snippets of actual experiences of my life. And the majority of the scenarios have true elements to them. So if you're reading the book and you said, "This feels incredibly real. It's so intense. It's so emotional." And that's usually a sign that it really is. It's a part of my life. Now, my mother had encouraged me at a very young age to keep a journal and write down my thoughts at night, at the end of each day. And it's a good thing, because it turned into a valuable resource for my trilogy series. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have had that really rich sense of information, especially as a teenager. And it was quite intense. It was very emotional. Reading my own thoughts from that time period brought back a lot of memories. And it wasn't easy. It was not easy. I felt like I was back in school walking down those hallways.
Yeah.
And that hit me pretty hard. And it was amazing to literally go back in time and feel like a young person again. And that made a huge difference in writing my trilogy series. And I incorporated a lot of those personal moments into my books, which provided an incredibly intimate connection for the readers. And that's a good thing. Now, I'll admit that it wasn't easy tapping into those volatile emotions again. I had to literally live through the torment and heartache all over again. And there were moments when I was in tears as I was writing out the story, because it was an actual segment of my life. And ironically, by looking back on my life like this, I learned a lot more about myself. So it was a good thing. It was hard to do, but had to be done.
And a wonderful book came out of it, too. Do you still keep that journal?
I go through journals a lot. I have all my journals from back in the 1970s.
Wow.
Yes.
That's impressive. Would you like to read to us from Sway?
So this is chapter 9, called Sanctuary. It had gotten much colder in the past few weeks, and the snow was getting deeper. I shivered as thick snowflakes swirled around me. The sidewalk in front of me was dark. As I made my way to the mall that was another block away, my breath was visible in the cold air. The wind had picked up strength during the past 2 hours I had spent in the dojo. Mom had agreed to meet me at the mall since she had some errands to run tonight, and in hindsight, I regretted that decision. I pulled my jacket closer to my body, trying to block out the wind. The wind wreaked havoc with my hearing aids, blocking out every sound around me, and it drove me crazy since it was irritating and uncomfortably loud. And I shivered as another blast of cold air slammed into my face, forcing me to turn away from it. I passed several stores that were still open, the fluorescent lights spilling out into the sidewalk. At that moment, I could hear a whistle or someone yelling at me. I looked up into the fierce wind, squinting my eyes, but not seeing anyone in front of me. Strange, I thought. Maybe it was my imagination. I continued on, staggering slightly from the wind. I heard it again, this time mixed voices that were loud but didn't make any sense. Then I saw the shadows behind me. Gulping back the fear that was rising through my body, I picked up the pace, more afraid than ever. Suddenly, a big shove across my back sent me stumbling awkwardly. I frantically tried to regain my balance. Someone grabbed my shoulder and spun me around. "What's the matter with you?" demanded the tall one standing in the middle of the group, his black hair spiky, facing all directions, an earring gleaming in the dull light. He sneered at me, shoved at my shoulder roughly. "Hey, didn't you hear us? We've been calling you from way back there." Jerked his thumb over his shoulder in the general direction of where I had been walking. His pals stood beside him, equally menacing, holding their hockey sticks in their hands with their large, bulky bags on their shoulders. It was obvious they had come from the arena, not too far from the dojo, and one of them leaned in towards me as recognition dawned across his face. "Well, if it ain't Kung Fu Barbie," he laughed rudely, looking at his pals. He swung at my face, slapping his palms across my cheek, trying to get a reaction out of me. I instinctively brought my hands upwards, blocking his strikes, which made him angrier and more aggressive. I knocked his hands away, causing his heavy bag to fall to the ground with a thud and sending his stick clattering to the sidewalk. He bent down to retrieve it, full of rage. "Nice going!" I tried to turn around, started to walk backwards, ready to run, when he abruptly yanked me back with the hook of his stick in the crook of my elbow. I tried to shrug out of it, pushing it away from me, when he suddenly lifted it up and roughly pulled at my neck with the blade of his stick. He yanked the stick hard, trying to pull me towards him, but I kept batting at it, trying to stop him. He reached for me again, this time hitting my ear before I managed to absorb a portion of the blow with my arm. I gasped from the pain and shock, reached up to clutch my now empty ear, blood running down my neck. My eyes watered, making it difficult to see, as I frantically tried to search the ground for my hearing aid. "Hey, what's your problem?" they yelled, closing in on me. The situation was becoming dire very quickly, now that I couldn't hear them. I can see them moving their lips, anger clearly etched on their faces. Brought up my hand protectively against my pounding ear. My hand shook violently. As the tall one approached me, he grabbed my jacket, pulled me towards him. I delivered a swift kick to his groin. Thankful my mind was clear enough to remember the technique. He went down on one knee in pain, squeaking like a mouse. Grimacing, he ordered them to go after me. One of them shoved me into the chest. Pow, pulled me into a bear hug. "What's the matter?" he said in a rude sneer. "You deaf." "As a matter of fact, she is, jerk." He spun around, finding Ethan standing behind him, holding onto my gym bag. He was very angry and barely able to control it, literally vibrating with rage.
Oh, thank you.
I'll have to get the book to read more.
A dire situation indeed. And now I think we'll take a short break.